Last week, I was visiting the eighth grade class. It was the week after they had gotten back from Easter break. And they were talking about Holy Week and the Easter season and that, so I thought, well, I'll teach them about where sacred chrism oil comes from. So, you know, it's the oil that has that nice perfume smell. It's used at baptisms, confirmations, ordinations. And explain to them how that, along with the oil of the catechumens and the oil of the sick, are blessed by the Archbishop on Tuesday of Holy Week every year. And then that's distributed to all the parishes, and it's what we use for the whole year then. Well, the point is, the Archdiocese has a video of the Chrism Mass from 2015 on YouTube. I thought they'd have this year, but they have that one. And the Mass is the same each year, so it's fine. But I went through and stopped at different points to show them different parts, and I don't know if they were more excited about the chrism or seeing me as a seminarian, Father Dennis as a deacon, and Deacon Greg a few years younger. I say that with Linda here, of course. But we went through and went to different parts. But one of the parts of the Chrism Mass is where the priests, deacons, and different people renew promises. And so the camera angle showed the whole big section of priests. And this is at the cathedral downtown. So if you've been to Mass there, usually they're kind of in between the ambo and the altar. A big section of chairs, and priests were there. Most priests, I think, come to the Chrism Mass, at least about half, so there's probably, in this video, maybe 100 or so, give or take. But the point is, their teacher asked me a very interesting question, and it's one that I hadn't thought of before. She said, "Are you guys ever afraid that if someone ever wanted to do something, we could lose half our priests, a chunk of our laity, and all of our bishops in one night?" In front of the kids, I said, "I never really looked at it that way before." But in reality, it's an event where there isn't extra security. The Milwaukee police aren't around the cathedral. So yeah, quite frankly, anyone could come in and do something. And ironically, or maybe not so ironically, that same day, I then got a text from my uncle asking if I heard the news that the cathedral is now adding guards on every Sunday, given what's going on in our world. And if you've noticed some of the headlines, persecutions have begun to increase against Christians, not only spots in our own country, but really around the world. And looking at the TV the other day, there was images of different churches on fire and bullet holes in walls of different Christian churches. And now throughout the history of our church, we've faced many persecutions to a greater or lesser extent. And maybe even personally, we've experienced persecutions in the harsh words that we might hear from a family member, or friend, or even someone we don't know. You know, questioning, why would we be Catholic? Why listen to priests when they don't know what they're doing and they're bad people and all these different things? And the more we hear this stuff, the easier it is for our Easter joy and our Easter hope to be dampened and maybe even put to the test. I start with all of this because at the time that John wrote his gospel, the first persecutions already had broken out. The Roman emperors had already begun their policy of executing Christians for not worshiping the Roman gods. And so John's central theme throughout a lot of his writings, all of his writings really, is on the power of the church to grow and to survive even in the most difficult of circumstances. We talk about how the blood of the martyrs are the seeds of the church. And we see this in a particular way from the gospel we just heard, in the image of a fishing net full of fish, too heavy to bring in, having to be dragged across the shore. It's so heavy that John makes sure to put that detail into the gospel to say that the net was not torn. Something you would think to just gloss over. Okay, he's making a point that's heavy. Big deal. That's a lot of fish. But Peter ended up bringing that overstuffed net safely into the boat, and the net wasn't harmed. It's not just a gloss over detail. Because that net should have torn. They should have lost their entire catch. But it didn't. The net is really the church. Our church, not only here at St. Dominic, not only in the Archdiocese or the United States, but our church universal is filled with believers who Christ gathers together in miraculous ways throughout all the ages and then brought safely into the boat. And it is Peter who hauls in the net. Not just any of the disciples, not just someone there to help, but it was Peter, our first pope. It is he who brings the community of believers together onto the shores of eternity for all ages to come, when we will at last feast and have breakfast with the Lord. When the people that persecute us don't understand, and quite frankly will never understand, is that they can't win. No matter what they do, no matter how devastating, no matter what the pain may be, and sometimes it's great, there is no persecution that can ever defeat the church. Why? Because of the resurrection. What we look at every time we celebrate Mass. We start at the cross when we enter the church, and then we journey down to the resurrection. The church will continue to grow and expand, and it will stay intact, like the net in our gospel, until it's brought safely home. Now, there's really no point in comparing one persecution to another. They're all horrific in their own way. But it is important to look at our history and just understand how many persecutions, how many enemies, how many trials we've endured for 2,000 years. Again, why can't they win? Because Jesus never loses. That's our great Easter message, that Jesus conquered sin, conquered death, conquered evil once and for all. Though the effects of sin still remain because of our fallen human condition, that's true, but they don't have the final word. They don't win, and there is a remedy. Every time that we see a troubling headline or a news story, it's first of all an opportunity for prayer, but it's also an opportunity for trust. Trust in what we celebrate this Easter season, which is Christ's victory. As with many bright ideas that you hear in any given homily, sometimes they're a lot easier said than done. And it's true, the situation that we can find ourselves in brings out many raw emotions. Whether we see, you know, Notre Dame on fire, although it's not intentional or so they think, but you know, we see different arsons of churches, the bullet holes in walls, or just the mere fact that if we want to go to the cathedral downtown in our own home, we have to pass by guards or metal detectors, whatever they're going to do. It brings out a lot of raw emotion. It's things we even, 10, 15 years ago, we never had to worry about, never dreamed. There was a day when these doors, as they're wide open now, could be left open all day without a worry. But as all these emotions come up, I think St. Peter is an excellent guide for us. And one of the reasons I like him so much is because he's just so human. He's so much like us. You know, sometimes he's really smart and understands everything perfectly. He's in tune with Jesus. And kind of like us, sometimes, you know, our prayer's clicking, we're just in groove. But then there's times that he gets frustrated and angry. Like in today's gospel, Jesus kept asking, "Do you love me?" And it says Peter was distressed. He was getting frustrated. "Yes, you know I love you. I've told you already. Why do you keep asking?" And of course, the three questions of "Do you love me?" was in reparation for Peter's threefold denial. That was intentional by Jesus to make that connection. Sometimes Peter's too quick to make decisions. Sometimes he messes up. But he also has his good moments. And Jesus established his church, promised to be with that church until the end of time, and commanded Peter to feed his sheep and his lambs. Jesus gave us a shepherd and continues to provide for us through Peter's successors. What we see from Peter, what we also see from Mary, and many of our shepherds throughout history, is their trust in Jesus. It wasn't blind or in the sense that they thought, oh, everything's okay, and you know, didn't understand what tough issues were. But no matter what their worries were about the future, they always trusted anyway. And they had that deep conviction that the net would never tear. And I think that's where we need to start as we soak in the current events in our world and realize that we're in a different time and place than in the past. And as we reconcile that with the Easter message and promise of Jesus being with us and caring for us and that the church grows and survives, All of that starts with trust. And so today, as Christ comes again to feed our souls in the Eucharist through the ministry of the church, which has grown through the centuries under the guidance of Peter, let's thank the Lord for taking care of us. After all, Eucharist means thanksgiving. We thank the Lord, trusting that the net will never tear, that we will be brought safely into the boat, and that no persecutor will ever win.